The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Well. I mean, it's like a party here for me. This is very exciting. Welcome into First Take, everybody. Max Kellerman's back. You had a couple of days off. Much deserved. Rested. Enjoyed it.
Well, listen, when you have kids, Molly, you never have a vacation.
Yeah.
If you go somewhere, you're on a trip.
Got it.
If you go home, it's just a day.
You're still working.
You're still working.
Yeah.
Okay. But you got some off time from us. And Kimberly Martin, finally in the flesh. So good to have you.
Thank you,
and
guys.
It's exciting to have you guys both in studio. It feels like normalcy. Hey, Marcus, it's kind of cool to have you virtually.
What's up, my people?
I'm just
good
playing.
To see y'all.
How we doing? Good to see you. We're going to have some fun. All right, guys, let's get into it. The major news. The plane has landed. Max, your boy Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. What? After 89 days of uncertainty, the story broke back in April during the NFL draft that he wanted out. However, he has reported to camp. The two sides are working on a deal. Yesterday when this broke, we asked Dan Orlovsky who won. Was it the Packers or Rodgers? Take a listen.
This is an absolute home run by the Green Bay Packers. I'll take everybody back to the moment they drafted Jordan Love. I guarantee you their intention was, we are going to sit him for 2 years, let Aaron Rodgers continue to be our starting quarterback, and we will trade him after the 2021 season. All they're doing right now, as of today, is making it look like they're meeting him somewhat halfway. They get to review the situation at the end of the year. They very well could, this time next year, say, you know what, you were the MVP again. We're not going to trade you. This is a home run by their general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Aaron Rodgers, this feels like a relatively big swing and miss.
All right. Max,
baseball metaphors for a football topic.
We have talked about this ad nauseum, and then it breaks yesterday, and I didn't have you or Stephen A. here, and I know how important Aaron Rodgers is to you. So let me ask you this. Your first chance to react to this huge news. Who do you think the real winner is?
The biggest winner is the Green Bay Packers. But this is actually a situation where everyone wins. It's just degrees of winning. And I'm basing that on an understanding. My understanding of the situation is that much like Adam Schefter was discussing, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, I forgot how many weeks already, but Adam doesn't just pull things out of the air. He's talking to a lot of people. It seems that the cap hit was going to be too great for the Packers to swallow this year. So Aaron Rodgers is not a stupid guy. He understands that too. So the Packers, look, you can go after this year. It'll be up to you. Mm-hmm. But we need you for this year because we're not going to get killed on the cap and also lose Aaron Rodgers. And what they've done here is keep Aaron Rodgers, ostensibly a committed Aaron Rodgers, on a Super Bowl contender. Came pretty close last year, even the year before, right? With a real shot to win the Super Bowl. They're not marching him back at gunpoint. They're not forcing his hand. He is willingly going, which means he'll be committed. And then they have a year to change his mind. Right? They bought themselves a year to change his mind. So Rodgers wins because if he wants out, he'll be out after the season. The Packers win. They'll still be able to trade him and get a bounty for him, multiple firsts and everything. And they have an extra year to change Rodgers' mind. And they have a shot at the Super Bowl this year.
Win-win, except Aaron Rodgers is the biggest winner because what did he do? He turned a team that used a first-round pick on a quarterback and basically force them to make concessions the team could have done from the very beginning. Hey, Aaron, we want to take this quarterback. How you feel about it? Hey, Aaron, we're thinking about letting go of this receiver. We're thinking about getting that. How do you feel, Aaron? What do you want, Aaron? These are questions that could have been asked last year, years before, and they could have avoided this situation. So the Packers basically put Aaron Rodgers in this position by getting another quarterback and then saying, oh, wait, that quarterback that we drafted, he's not good enough right now for us to win in 2021. Hey, Aaron, please stay with us. Don't leave. We want you. I don't know what they were doing in Green Bay, but Aaron Rodgers is the huge winner because he gets what he wants. I will die on this hill and say that Aaron Rodgers has the best chance of winning a Super Bowl this season in Green Bay. But the fact that he gets to, after this year, test out the Tom Brady theory of going elsewhere and seeing what you could do there, he's really the big winner.
Thank you, Kim. I'm glad we got somebody with some damn sense on this set. Aaron Rodgers, the biggest winner. We had a conversation. Look, Green Bay by default is in good position because Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback for 1 year. That's default. You got a player that just strong-armed an entire organization and became the requisite general manager and decision maker when it comes to roster development and how things are supposed to look. By the way, Randall Cobb just got traded to the Green Bay Packers. Guess who wanted that to happen? Aaron Rodgers. So he's going to continue to win in this particular situation. Max, I was adamant about Aaron Rodgers not coming back to Green Bay. Didn't think it was going to happen. But I damn sure ain't think they was going to make him the general manager, the owner slash head coach, decision maker. And Gutekunst got up there and talked about he has input. It's almost the same as it always been. How in the hell you going to make somebody believe that after all of the stuff that we watched transpire this season and then all of these decisions and concessions are made in order to bring Aaron Rodgers back?
Yeah, that's a mistake by Gutekunst.
In what NFL world do you know of a player saying, I don't want to be there, I ain't doing a damn thing this offseason that has anything to do with the Green Bay Packers, and then ultimately shows up for camp and just everything go by the wayside? Man, you know what kind of concessions had to be made in order to get Aaron Rodgers back in that building? And we will continue to see things unfold as this offseason goes along, as this season goes along. I'm with it. Everybody is right. Y'all been right. The Green Bay Packers have a great chance to win a Super Bowl. It's a great roster. All of those things were true before Aaron Rodgers decided to let us know that he wanted out of Green Bay. We had just saw him in the NFC Championship. I get it. They going to get a haul in draft picks. They going to do all of this that everybody is talking about. That was going to happen anyway. The Green Bay Packers knew that that was going to happen anyway, right? Whether they decide to trade him right now or they trade him a year from now. Aaron Rodgers just strong-armed an entire damn organization, and y'all going to say the organization is the winner. Y'all crazy.
All right, let me get in here. Gutekunst did just speak, and he did admit to the fact that there were communication lapses with Aaron Rodgers, which we all know. A little bit of Captain Obvious there. But, Max, I want to come back to you because you had said all along, Aaron's the guy with the power. The Packers need to come to him on TV and say Aaron Rodgers is their boss. They will do as they're told. So does this turn of events surprise you, how this ultimately played out, that he's back in Green Bay?
No, not at all. And first of all, this is what I want to know. How is Kimberly, who has all this inside information, who talks to people all the time, who's you know, how is Marcus, who's a veteran of the NFL, how is it that I, neither of those things, how are my opinions so much better? Could you explain that to me? It shouldn't be this way. And yet clearly audience can see, Molly. The audience can plainly
tell.
Now, let me explain why the Packers win here, Molly, and why I'm unsurprised.
Okay.
Because the real win for them is they have another year to change Rodgers' mind. See, they're not calling the shots. The reason you guys are saying Aaron Rodgers wins, look at him, he's a shot caller. I've been known that he's a shot caller. The NFL has changed. The NFL has made the quarterback so important that if you are Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, or Aaron Rodgers, if you are a far outlier, right, you say jump, they say how high, and they don't come down until you tell them to. The Packers are learning this now. Now, the cap hit was such that I'm sure the back channel communication is, we just can't take the hit. It's not like Rodgers was really going to retire. He may have waited out a year, and they didn't want to lose that year, but neither did he. But more than that, they understand now they have a year to try to win a Super Bowl and change Rodgers' mind. And in fact, Gutekunst saying anything like he's saying now is not helping. He still hasn't learned to put his ego aside. Just check the ego, forget about all the double talk to make it look like you're in charge, and just give it up. Rodgers is calling the shots. You got him for one more year. Clock's ticking. You got 1 year to change the boss's mind because he will decide what happens.
What was the point of drafting Jordan Love? Like, what was it? What was the point? What was the point? Because if you believe that Packers believed Aaron Rodgers had just like one or two good, decent years left, which is why Jordan Love is here. Now the Packers are saying, oh, it should have been, you know, they basically were like, oh, Aaron, baby, please don't leave us. Do not go. Like, come back to us. And yet they drafted a QB. Like, this is part of the problem. That's why I...
Why are you messing that QB on the side if you want me to come back?
Right? That's why it's hard for me to say the Packers are the true winner. This is a win-win situation for them. It benefits them. But they put themselves in this bind and now are making concessions. And they don't... They have a QB that they can't use right now because they want this QB who they made upset, and now they have to convince him to come back another year. This has just been poorly handled from the jump.
Kimberly, you make a great point, and I understand absolutely what you're saying. But let me address the Columbia grad with the psychology major, because this dude
is a history major.
But you try to act like psychology is your expertise. You are a very smart individual, Max. I ain't trying to throw shade that way. But in this particular situation, you crazy as hell. If you think that Aaron Rodgers is not the biggest winner, Max, you just said it. If he says jump, they say how high. In what regard is that not the guy running the show and the biggest winner in any situation? You saying we already knew that. I didn't. I did not think that the Green Bay Packers were going to concede all of this control to Aaron Rodgers. I understand that all quarterbacks have a lot of juice and it's a particular tier of guys that we know if they say something, it's going to move in the way. But to give up everything? Green Bay just gave up everything, Max.
Well,
right? Like, and they still don't know. To your point, they got a year to convince him. They still don't know where they're going to be a year from now.
They can win the Super Bowl in that year, Marcus.
Max, what if they don't and he walks?
Better shot with
what
Rodgers.
If they don't? Everybody understands and agrees that having Aaron Rodgers is a better situation. But the question is, who is the real winner? The real winner is the player that just strong-armed an entire organization. That's the winner.
If you want to back up to the very beginning, you can argue that. But we're dealing with the facts as they existed in the last several weeks and the last couple months when we've been chopping this up. Now, I want to answer both the questions. One, what were they doing drafting Jordan Love, right? And okay, because... Aaron Rodgers in a new system turned into a game manager, had the worst year of his career by the eyeball test, and it wasn't clear given his age and given the fact that he relies on athletic ability more than, say, someone like Tom Brady or Drew Brees, you would think, because he can move and he can do all these things that require, like, the athletic ability you would think of youth. They thought, wait, is he in decline? Do we start need to make backup plans? But they're hedging their bets because maybe not. It turns out not. He just needed that year in a new system to learn it, and then he won the MVP. So that's why they draft Jordan Love. They bungled. They messed that up, no question about it. But that's the rationale. It's not like I'm saying anything that we all don't know. And Marcus, Aaron Rodgers with the Packers, you're saying, how is he not winning because he just told the whole organization this, that? The fact is, he wasn't going to play for them. He didn't want to play for them anymore. It's been reported and discussed and chopped up ad nauseum, right? He's out of there. He doesn't want to play. Not only do they have him now, but they have him under circumstances for a year where he's not having to be brought kicking and screaming. He's signed up. So he's committed to this year. You have a Super Bowl-ready team with a committed quarterback. That's a win. That's pulling a rabbit out of a hat.
Max, I'm not saying Green Bay didn't come out good in this situation. We're not having that conversation. Obviously, if you're paying attention, both sides got what they wanted ultimately. Green Bay got a great quarterback, a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest to ever do it, and a chance to win a Super Bowl. But we said, who is the real winner? The real winner is the player that organization pays to do a job who just took a whole offseason and said, to hell with y'all until I become the ruler of all things in Green Bay. And you know what happened? He just became the ruler of all things in Green Bay.
He already was. He just didn't know it.
In particular, we got situations all over this league with owners, management, we got GMs, we got guys running organizations that would not have relented in this particular situation. We know some of the egos of some of the owners and general managers. Wait a second. all of the things that you said, Max, leading up to this point, Green Bay needs to go on television and apologize. They need to say Aaron Rodgers is my guy. He's the guy that owns this organization. He's the general manager and decision maker. In what world is the player not the real winner when it becomes that situation, Max? In what world?
But that was the
case. In what league?
That was already the case. We already knew that. At least I did. We already knew that that's the case. What the Packers got
obviously
out of it
Green
was
Bay
another
didn't.
Year of Rodgers.
Obviously,
Green
Bay didn't.
I will say this. To Marx's point, when I talked to NFL GMs and personnel execs, they said the Packers shouldn't do anything. The Packers have the leverage. Other teams felt the Packers had the leverage. And should just sit there and let Aaron Rodgers be the one to sit out a season because he's under contract. The fact that they did not, the fact that they relented and now we're talking concessions, I think that points to the fact that Aaron Rodgers, who showed up with that devious grin yesterday in his little office sweatshirt, his little office T-shirt, he's the real winner. He knows exactly what he's doing.
It's easy for those GMs to talk tough when they don't have to
right.
deal with it. If he's playing for them, we'll see how tough they're talking.
Look, Green Bay.
Green Bay GM
play quarterback, so he can say what the hell he want to say.
Okay, let's move on. And speaking of concessions, might there be some with the vaccine? So to Washington, where Ron Rivera did not hold back when he shared his feelings about the low COVID-19 vaccination numbers among the players of the Washington football team. Rivera, who was diagnosed with a form of cancer last August and underwent treatments during the season, had this to say on Tuesday.
I'm truly frustrated. I'm beyond frustrated, you know, and part of it is, and the reason I walked in with the mask on is, you know, I'm immune deficient. Okay, so with this new variant, who knows? So when I'm in a group and the group's not vaccinated or there's mixture, I put the mask on. And I do that, you know, for health reasons, because nobody really knows. And so I have to do that. And I just wish and I hope that our guys can understand that. I hope we can get to these guys, get them to understand, really, it's, you know, not just for them, but it's for the people around them. And that's the thing that I think hopefully, you know, will get their attention, is that it's not just about them, but the folks around them.
You know, Kimberly, I'll start with you, and really strong comments there because he is immune compromised and obviously what he went through, and he's at risk now. How big of a deal are these comments from Rivera?
They're huge, Molly. I don't think enough people are paying enough attention to the COVID situation in the NFL. And what I mean by that is it's almost like how society feels fractured beyond, you know, based on vaccine lines. It's the same in the NFL, unvaccinated players versus vaccinated. You're seeing in Buffalo, you're seeing the dialogue happening in the public sphere on Twitter between teammates arguing about it. For Ron Rivera, and I sat down with Ron Rivera recently for a feature story, and we talked about the vaccine. And I feel bad for coaches because they have guys, it's not just the bottom of the roster guys, the guys trying to make the roster that potentially might not even make it through camp if they decide to remain unvaccinated. What about the locker room leaders? Young, veteran, old, whatever. What about those guys who are gonna, you know, dig their feet and say, you know what? I don't want the vaccine. Because what we're seeing, well, I covered a lot of games last year that got postponed because of COVID and guys coming down with it and outbreaks. Titans, Ravens, Steelers. You know, it had a serious effect last year. And now that we have a vaccine and players are saying, I do not want it. If you're a head coach like Ron Rivera, a guy whose team made it to the playoffs, a guy who is charged with turning on a franchise, who's trying to win now in this very short window, and the health issues, it's a big problem for coaches because they now are behind the scenes telling guys, listen, if you don't want to get vaccinated and there's a choice between you and somebody else and you're trying to make this roster, we're going to go with the vaccinated guy because we can't. It is a competitive advantage. That's how these coaches see it. And they have a lot of key players around the league who are sort of saying, it's not for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. I think we all agree it's a huge deal. And I like the fact this is being flipped now. For so many years when the team wanted to or the league wanted to pressure a player into doing something against their self-interest, right? They use the teammates. You're going to let the teammates down. You're going to let the guys in the locker room down, the organization. You're not committed, et cetera, et cetera. Sign on the dotted line, right? And now it's being flipped. Now it's being flipped, and it's actually a very good thing to use the pressure. And when I say peer pressure, I mean your actual working peers, the people you work with. That's what this is. That's what the league is. Peer pressure to get it. You're going to leave us high and dry if you don't get it. And the reason we're even in this fix, it's not even about just the last administration and bad information and kind of mocking masks and stuff like that. This predates that. This has been going on for a long time now, this kind of anti-vax nonsense. It's like non-hocus-pocus non-science that convinced enough people that vaccines are dangerous. There's nothing in the scientific literature that says it's just not true. It's just made up. But enough people who should know better playing on the internet and spreading bad information and people susceptible to low quality information believe that that's the case. And we should be polite and we should be kind, but we also have to be firm about it. Like, you know, every state requires measles, mumps and rubella. If you want to send your kid to early daycare, right? And even elementary school. And I believe through high school, you're required, maybe every state or every state, but one, maybe, you're required to get vaccinated. You know, you're required to do it if you want to go to school. And I'm all for requirements. And in their absence, this kind of peer pressure and pressure from coaches and organizations to keep everyone healthy. Do you realize we were just in a deadly pandemic? Everyone praying for a miracle. We got a miracle. Take this pandemic over. And no, we're still in it because people don't want to take it. My hat's off to Ron Rivera and the NFL and those bringing pressure to bear to get out of this thing.
Yeah, I think it's poignant because of the messenger when you talk about Ron Rivera. And he alluded to he's immune compromised. So for him, it's a different particular situation than a lot of people. There are varying conversations going on about this vaccine, and we all know it. We all abreast to it. Social media puts everything on blast. The conspiracy theories out there, it has become political. It's become emotional. All of those things. The bottom line is this, right? And a lot of people are not going to like this, what I say. But the vaccine is a decision based on each individual. Now, I'm vaccinated because not only am I vaccinated because I wanted to protect myself, my mother lives with me, and I wanted to get vaccinated because I saw how this ravaged. I'm close to this particular situation. I had an aunt in the hospital for 3 months on the brink of dying from COVID-19. So I have a different experience. There are different households, different conversations going on all across America. And Max, I know you know this, but as far as the vaccine, and this is not to disperse anything you said about the things that are going on with the conversation now, but there is history with African Americans with vaccines that makes apprehension when you start talking about these things and what it's derived from. But to go back to that history and not pay attention to the things that are happening now. There are so many people vaccinated, so many people that are not dealing with the things that come with COVID. It's not about not getting COVID. People are still getting COVID with the vaccine. The point is for you not to be laying up in the hospital on the brink of death. That's the results of the vaccine. That's what the results have shown, period. Now, you can argue about it, make it political, all of that. I'm not that guy. This is what the data says. This is what doctors and the doctors that I'm in conversation with are saying. The vaccine is working. It's working.
Marcus, real quick.
Go ahead.
I just want to mention one thing, because some people get this wrong about, for example, the Tuskegee experiment, right? Like, that's what people are oftentimes referring to when you talk about the history of this country, racism, how that can be tied up in people's attitudes. But just to be clear, that was about not treating the disease, exposing a group of people to a disease and leaving it untreated. Yeah. That was not about, hey, let's give someone a bad vaccine. That's about not giving the medicine, not giving the vaccine.
Absolutely, Max. And for the sake of time, I didn't go into that, but I'm just talking about the mistrust.
Sure.
That became a part of the medicine conversation for African Americans in this country. But to your point, you're absolutely right. But that's the point that I was trying to make. When you start hearing all of the questions about the vaccine and is it safe and is it testing, test dummies being used? No. It's people that are vaccinated that are not getting COVID and not dealing with the symptoms that you would deal with when you're not vaccinated. And to Ron Rivera's point, the entire point, do it for the people around you. Like at the minimum, The people around you are in a better situation if you decide to get vaccinated. I'm just in a position where I'm never willing to tell an adult what to do. You do what you do, but you also have consequences for both. And that is really the conversation that's going on. Myself personally, I chose to get vaccinated not only for myself, but the people around me. That's not going to be everybody's decision. And we can't look at it in the chasm of, well, if you don't do it, you're a terrible person. We need to explain to them why you need to be vaccinated and why things need to transpire as far as you not only looking out for yourself, but taking care of other people.
Yeah, no, you're
That's
not a terrible
entire
person.
Conversation for everybody.
You're not a terrible person, but you should be maybe not allowed to come to work or go to school.
Absolutely.
That doesn't make you a terrible person, but you got to live with the consequences of your choices. And the question as a society is,
I don't think the NFLs can mandate that.
Right, well, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
What are we willing to mandate?
Yeah, they would like to mandate it, but I don't think they can with the NFLPA. Yes, I've talked about this before. Lost my grandmother to COVID, was in there full PPE. She couldn't breathe. Very scary, awful. Got the vaccine on my birthday as soon as I could sign up. And it was also to protect my parents and the other people around me. But I do understand people's hesitancy. I wasn't running to, sign up because I wanted to, but it's really to protect myself and other people. And I've got a small circle of friends on the West Coast right now. Two of my friends, their whole families have it, dealing with the Delta variant. They're very sick. Babies are sick. They're scared, and they chose not to get the vaccine, and now they regret it. So I'll leave you with that on my personal story.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Simone Biles withdrew during the team competition Tuesday with what USA Gymnastics called a medical issue following vault, and her absence hampered Team USA's bid for the third straight Olympics title. They had to settle for the silver. Now her mental well-being is paramount. She's also decided to pull out of Thursday's all-around competition. There still is a possibility she will compete in the individual events starting on Sunday. Asked if she was injured, Biles responded, "No, just a little injury to my pride." Here she is.
It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. I think just as a whole, not having an audience, there are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case.
Max, I'll start with you. We'll go around the horn here. What's your reaction to the news?
I think that people are using Simone Biles as their own soapbox. If they want to make a point about how much they love Simone Biles, good for her. Mental health is important, and it is, of course. And if they want to make a point about athletes getting softer, they say, come on. Yeah, we know you have to perform. That's always been the case. And that's the truth. There's truth to that, too. So I think people are trying to kind of using this to make a point. My feeling about Simone Biles is she is not obligated to compete As long as she's not, like, is she hurting Team USA? Did she pull out in such a way where she wasn't going to, her points wouldn't accrue to, no, she waited until that wouldn't be, like, she competed as far as it wouldn't hurt them, and now it hurt us, and now it's like, okay, I want to step back, I'm not feeling it right now. That's okay. What I notice is, and she's the greatest of all time, like, I don't know if people want to make the point, well, you can't be the greatest of all time and still do this sort of thing. Well, obviously you can, because she is the greatest of all time, and she's doing it. But what occurs to me is you see Simone Biles doing this. You saw Naomi Osaka doing this. And we are living in a time, like, why all of a sudden is this happening, right? The high-profile athletes, women, you know, some of the highest-profile female athletes in the world. And I think it's a combination of social media, which has created more media and therefore more criticism, more negative media. I would imagine, I'm not a woman of color, but Kimberly, you can talk to this more directly than I can. I imagine particularly for women of color. But I would also say that along with that added pressure and added negative stuff coming people's way, there's also empowerment, you know? And so you can feel that added pressure, but you can also do something about it. Athletes are now more empowered by some of the same kind of mechanisms that create the pressure, including social media. And so now if they are feeling this added pressure and they're feeling like, you know what, I'm not feeling this right now, they actually have a say in what happens. And I think that we're Naomi Osaka and now Simone Biles are reacting to the time and place and the kind of pressures that of their the time and place in which they're competing. But they also have remedies for that. Look, you know what? I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take a step back. And I would just reinforce again the idea that for those who would say, well, then you can't be the greatest, but she already is. Mm-hmm. So obviously you can be.
You want to go, Kimberly?
Oh, go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, go ahead, Kimberly.
Oh, first of all, I'll just say Simone Biles had already solidified herself as the GOAT. Tokyo was going to be the icing on the cake. There was nothing that she was going to do that was going to make us say, oh, now she's really the GOAT. As somebody who covers athletes, as somebody who's covered baseball, football, basketball, I've watched Major League Baseball pitchers have the yips. I've had talked to baseball players about consulting a sports psychologist. The pressure is real. I think what, as Max was saying, what's happening now is that athletes are finally being honest about the burden. You know, I was watching the Olympic coverage over the weekend, and I noticed a Simone Biles interview where she said, she talked about how at 24, she felt it in her body. The injuries felt, she didn't, her body hurts, she feels old. And of course, I was like, wait, what? At 24, she feels old? And then she started talking more about the pressure and how she worries about the routines and injuring herself as she's doing the routines, and that's something she didn't feel when she was 19. Where she just kind of felt carefree and said, I'm just gonna go for it. I think it's good that athletes now are saying, no, I'm not okay. Because most of us aren't. Day to day, hour to hour, in real life, if we're really gonna be honest, all of us can understand what that feels like. So imagine Simone Biles, greatest gymnast, is saying, I'm not myself, this doesn't feel right. The courage it took for her to say that, to admit that, to not be able to compete is huge. And a lot of people right now are on their soapbox, whether it's on social media, on different sports programs, saying, if I was Simone Biles, did it. You're not. You're not. You never will be. I would have done this if I.
Yeah.
You couldn't. So I credit these athletes right now, and I hope more of them will feel better about speaking their truth, because athletes. Pressure's not new, but them being vocal about what they're struggling with and dealing with is new.
Listen, man, my late grandmother gave me the greatest gem I ever got, and I've gotten some great gems from some high-profile people. But my grandmother, Christine Spears, gave me the greatest gem. Y'all know what that was?
What
Mind
is it?
Your damn business. People's mental health is not up for discussion. Mm-hmm. Individual's mental health is not up for discussion. That ain't your business, right? You could talk about Simone Biles as the gymnast, as how she performed as a gymnast, but her mental health ain't up for nobody damn discussion. Because to Kimberly's point, we don't know what that girl going through, that woman going through. We don't know what people are going through. And listen, I played in the NFL for 9 years, right? I've followed sports my entire life. I would rather Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka take a step back for their mental health as opposed to self-medicating, if y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
As opposed to dealing with these things in other ways where I've seen tear guys' careers apart because it was mental health things going on, but they found other avenues that wasn't good for them as individuals to do, and it ended up hindering not only them as people, but their careers. I've seen this. This is not something I'm speculating about. I've seen guys not deal with mental health. Listen, I come from a generation where you don't deal with mental health. I come from a generation where people pass it off as, man, Mark is just crazy. He'll be all right. He'll deal with it later or something that happened or an impact. Success don't make your mental health better. Money doesn't make your mental health better. The things you accomplish and calling people the GOAT, that doesn't make their mental health better. Michael Jordan stepped away from basketball to go play baseball. I guarantee
exactly
you it had a lot to do
to
with
exactly.
his mental health. So the bottom line is people's mental health ain't up for damn discussion.
Yeah, let me get in here.
Public, go ahead, Molly, I'm sorry.
And then I want to let Max be able to finish things out because there's some important context I also want to give. Also with Simone Biles in particular, and this is where my blood really boils, she's been giving so much of herself, so much sacrifice since she was a child. This was a girl who dealt with Larry Nassar. Remember the Team USA doctor who's
Absolutely.
In prison for 175 years? She dealt with decades of sexual assault. Right. And continuing to show up, continuing to give of herself. This took so much courage and bravery. I applaud her. She's a role model. I look up to her. She was on Facebook. I think it was called Simone vs. Herself. And she talked about, you know, when we're an athlete and we have an injury, we step aside for 4 to 6 weeks to heal. But when we deal with trauma, we don't get that. So she's finally taking this time to do that. Good for her. And the fact that she said, you know, this is a dangerous sport in some ways when we're talking about things like the vault. She said her head wasn't straight. She didn't know where her footing was. She was worried she was going to get injured. There could be major repercussions. So for people to poo-poo her or say that she's soft, it's like try walking in her shoes for one day.
All of the people that are saying that about her, Molly, can't do what she do. Right. And
that's what everybody
needs to remember, because this is always my soapbox with social media and people that's having conversations about you. They having conversations about you because they ain't you. That's what it boils down to. So listen, whatever.
I just wanted to get the Larry Nassar piece in because I think it's important.
What you said about I needed to get my head straight. You meant physically, but you got to get your head straight first. The way we use that expression in order to make sure your head is straight physically, so you're okay. And Marcus, you said it. Anyone who back in the old days, Michael Jordan stepped away for 2 years. That was not just about baseball.
Not at all.
After he was emotionally exhausted after a three-peat. Remember, the Lakers hadn't three-peated. No one had three-peated since the Celtics. They three-peated. It took everything he had. He stepped away for a couple years, came back and did it again, but he needed to recharge. That was partly about the same kind of issue. So many top athletes now, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, see sports psychologists and mental coaches. What do you think that is?
Of course. And it's just infuriating to hear. No, keep entertaining us. Go out there, get injured, you know, be miserable. And she said she was sleeping all day. It was a nightmare. No, choose yourself, choose your health. And I'm happy she's doing that. And that's what a real role model would do.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so with the recent news that players can profit off of name, image, and likeness, Nick Saban addressed this at SEC Media Day, saying he was unsure of the impact this could have on a team. Saban hinted that someone like his quarterback, Bryce Young, potentially earning so much more than his teammates, could cause tension in the locker room. Saban saying this. Our quarterback, Bryce Young, already has approached ungodly numbers. It's almost seven figures, and it's like the guy hasn't even played yet. But that's because of our brand. Tuesday, Stanford head coach David Shaw had this to say: Nick Saban is smarter than any 10 of us in this room combined. So there was no way that was just a throw-in. Obviously, that's a plant to make sure people knew, and it's a great way to recruit. Max, what do you think? Is this name, image, and likeness problematic for recruiting?
No, problematic. It's problematic if you got a bum squad. You know, it's problematic if you got a bad program. I mean, let's be honest about it. It's awesome. But what Nick Saban did, and Shaw's right, the way Nick Saban did it, he the front of it to people who aren't really looking deeply is like, hey, I like it, you know, old school. Look what's happening now. It could be divisive. I don't know. But really underneath, he's signaling, you can make $1 million at Alabama.
Our and brand. Like, you don't even need to play. You don't need to step on the field.
This idea of perfect parity is absurd. Are we just rooting for laundry? Or are we rooting for the place that we're from or the place we went to school? The reason Alabama has that advantage is because they care more about college football than other places. The reason LSU, Marcus, would have that advantage is because they care more about college football than other programs, right? They devote the citizenry of that, the denizens of that area, the people who live in that area will devote more of their resources to that sport, to supporting it emotionally, financially. Their lives will revolve around it more. Their programs ought to be better. And that is, it is a compounding advantage. It doesn't bother me. Otherwise, we're just rooting for what? For because this one has this uniform and this has this uniform, we're completely detached. They have no character from the place from which they come. You know, the New York Yankees, the biggest market in the world and baseball crazy town once upon a time, they have more money to spend than other teams. The Los Angeles Lakers, people want to play there. It's L.A. But there are other markets that are in the middle of the country, in the South. Maybe it's not the NBA or college football, but it really matters to people who live there. They give more of themselves to it, and programs and franchises there will have an advantage recruiting. And, Marcus, this is part of that. Doesn't bother me a little bit.
It don't bother me at all, Max. And listen, I would challenge people to look at this. Talk about it's damn problematic for recruiting. Go back and look at the last 15 years at the top five schools that's recruiting. Alabama up there before the NIL existed. Because the school has been selling itself since Nick Saban has been there. You know what it's been sold off of? Money. But it's been another way. It's been you'll go to the NFL if you come and play for Alabama. So in the context of the NIL problematic for recruiting? No. Hell no. It's a reason why schools have been recruiting at a high level. They've sold something else. Now you can add NIL to the plate. I tell people this all the time about the Southeastern Conference, all right, because we're speaking about Alabama and what Nick Saban said. This is actually an opportunity for other schools to become programs that we talk about and elevate themselves based on how you can market your players and how they can take advantage of this NIL. The schools that's already been at the top, the schools that's been playing at a very high level, that's been sending guys to the NFL year in and year out in droves by numbers, that was their NIL. That was their recruiting. That was how they got guys to sign on, and that's why Alabama has been winning championships, and LSU and Clemson. And when you think about all of the schools that's been at the top, this has always been a part of the recruiting tactic. But they've just been sold on going to the NFL, getting a great education and the support from the people around these institutions. When you think about Alabama, that's the professional team in Alabama. There is nothing else. There's the University of Alabama football. And they've been doing a tremendous job.
Nothing at, bigger at doing, than Alabama at, in Alabama.
At, right? And like doing what they're doing. So the bottom line is, when you look at how the NIL is going to impact college football, it absolutely will. But for these schools that's been up here at the top tier, they've already been selling these same ideas. They just couldn't turn it in, monetize it while these guys have been
it.
In college. So
I want Saban to do that at every press conference. Give, right. give a little subliminal
right,
recruiting
right.
pitch
in every and then when you look at, and in particular, let me get this in. When you look at the Bryce Young and the endorsements, and you talk about Nick Saban putting that olive branch out there and talking about the cachet of Alabama, why in the hell do you think Texas and Oklahoma want to go to the SEC, man? Why? Why y'all think Texas and Oklahoma want to lead the Big 12 where they the dominant dogs and go to the SEC? Because it's financially great to be a part of the Southeastern Conference. Not only that, you'll be able to recruit in that same pool that those guys are already in. So is the NIL problematic for recruiting? Hell no, because they've been recruiting off this same idea for the last 20 years.
Yeah. All right. Bryce Young, third best odds to win the Heisman, but already worth millions. Marcus, thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you on NFL Live later.